You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Jacqueline Severin. Before I introduce my next guest, take a listen to this.
We are one in the spirit. We are one in the world. We are one in the spirit. We are one in the world. And we pray peace and harmony will one day be restored. And they'll know we are united by our love, by our love.
That's the sound of a virtual children's choir put together by the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. The organization recorded over 200 boys and girls from the Pine Ridge Reservation and the Black Hills. They made a film and entered it into one of the largest Native American film festivals in Europe, and they won second place. Michael Hill is the executive director of the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. He's here today to talk to us about the virtual choir. Michael, thanks for coming on today.
Hello, Jacqueline. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Excellent. So the title of this piece in English is We Are One. What's the Lakota?
Mitakuye Oyesing, which technically means we are related, but it's also, in general, it also means we are one. And it was chosen because it, as you heard in the recording, that was the English segment. The third verse is strictly Lakota. There's four different harmony lines, a melody line, and then there is the high canto part at the very highest, and all of that is in Lakota. So the children sang in both in English and then in Lakota, and it was really a great project that we enjoyed being a part of and creating.
It's beautiful, and I think many might recognize that, the melody
as
a church hymn, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Why did you choose that song?
Well, we've been working with a local Lakota songwriter, singer and songwriter named Sequoia Crossway. A lot of our activities take place at the children's home outside of Rockerville in the Black Hills. And we've been working with Sequoia, who is their Lakota specialist and one of their arts directors. And Sequoia had been singing that every time we go up there to do events and work with the children, he brings out his guitar and starts singing. And that was one of the songs that he sings in Lakota. And my wife recognized the chord structure immediately. She goes, well, you know that chord structure is this other piece. He goes, yeah, I know. And so we started talking about it and worked with him. And my wife created this project so that it would include our professional musicians. He's got violins, viola, cello, bass, harp, and native drums. And you also have chimes in it, in addition to the four or five actual voice lines that she created into this large score. And implemented the wording that the Sequoia uses for his music, for his version of the song. And it was a great opportunity for the kids to learn more Lakota, to sing in Lakota, and be a part of a project that really focuses on their heritage. And if the listeners go see the video, there's all sorts of aspects. So we worked with the children in the Lakota colors, the story of the buffalo calf woman. And so they really got a lot out of it rather than just singing. It was a great project for them to sing and be a part of and feel good about themselves that they're being part of this such a huge project, but also that they got to learn more about their culture and their own heritage.
And we'll talk about the buffalo calf woman maybe a little bit later, but first let's take a listen to the Lakota part of this.
Okay.
Michael, what are the ages of the children in this video?
Well, the youngest ones were 3 years old up until 17, 18 years old. And Dawn designed it specifically so that any child could be a part of it. And underneath the main melody line that you hear in Lakota, there's harmony line where they sing, so the youngest children could simply say na-a-gila, wan-jila, very slowly. And the way that she designed it was that children who really didn't have much experience could put on the headphones. The way we recorded it is there was a guide voice in the headphones so that they could sing along and recognize the, and just capture the, and match the pitches in the voice that they hear in their headphones. And the microphone was in front of them, so they're singing into the microphone. They have the headphones on, and the microphone is just capturing them. And they're singing along like they're singing along with the radio.
Wow.
And really, it works perfectly.
Yeah, I was going to ask what maybe what you have to do to do a virtual choir versus just doing a regular choir who's all together. What are the challenges with that and how you overcame them?
Well, the challenge is it was all about the experience, really. I mean, when you've got a large choir, you're dealing with a whole group, a large group of many children together at one point. This allowed us to work with each child. And also, the neat thing about it is we found some extremely talented children. For example, we were up in Lead, and boy, they've got a vocal program going on up there. And the children started to sing, and we actually had to stop them a couple times, turn the microphone down, because they were overloading the microphone, and I had to reset everything. And it's like, okay, let's do it again, and let's try not to overload the microphones, please. But so this way we get to work with the children individually. And also we get to also recognize certain aspects of each child. There was one child who was hearing impaired, and he had a hard time catching the pitches, but his rhythm was phenomenal. So we spoke to his teachers and passed along to his parents that they're in the music programs, being hearing impaired really isn't a detriment. There's a very famous percussionist who is hearing impaired, and she has built a huge career as a world-famous percussionist. And this child, we thought, would fit perfectly into one of those programs. So we pass that information along to the parents, and we follow up and see if there's any assistance that we can offer. So that's just one example of talent that we noticed in working with these children individually rather than when you're working with a choir of 200 people, for example. So for us, it was really a thrill.
That's great. And so you went to them, right? They didn't come to you?
Correct. Yeah, that's all of our operations every summer. We go around to all the different locations, and we find our impact is just much greater. Organizations, you know, we're dealing with underserved communities and sometimes often poverty level or foster care, and they may not have the resources to come to us. So one of our projects in our mission statement, we bring all of our education programs directly to them, and we design it in coordination with their leadership. Like, say, the Boys and Girls Club in Lead and Hill City and Hot Springs. We speak to them, find out what's in their curriculum for the summer, and try and gear our programs to match in what they have going on so that it's a cohesive cooperation between our organizations and really makes for a much stronger impact.
And the children get to learn about Lakota culture as well.
Yes, yeah, they did, yeah. And before we did the recordings, we had Sequoia Crossway come with us. We went over to General Beadle Community School, to Atiape, sat down with the kids, told them what we were doing, told them what dates we were coming, gave them an idea of the past videos, this is what it's going to look like. You know, not necessarily to generate some excitement, but to let them know about how this is going to work, and then share the story of the White Buffalo Cattleman and share the stories of that so that they can learn a little bit more about their heritage and their culture specifically.
And the White Buffalo Cattleman is shown in the video. It's a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that and about her story?
Well, maybe I'm not the best person to tell the story because it is a specific story, and it's a story about the different stages. You know, there's also the four colors. So the White Buffalo Calf Woman is the giver of the sacred pipe, and the seven virtues to the Lakota people. And then there's the different stages of time that'll pass before she returns. And those different stages are the different colors that are represented in the video. So we talked to the kids about that, too. And the story about the beauty of the virtues that she represents and gave to the people. So it was the kids really, it resonated well with them because it's a positive message. It's a strong message of a great cultural aspect of their own heritage. I think they really learned a lot and really appreciated going through the process and being a part of a project that highlights that.
Kind of a great message for today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the funny thing about the competition, the film festival, we actually didn't submit it. They found us on YouTube. So this video has been up on YouTube since the end of July. It's been seen by nearly 80 different countries around the world currently, and they found it. And all of a sudden we got a notification that, hey, did you know you guys won second place in our music video competition? And we're like,
wow.
Okay. Like, well, thank you. But we're very pleased and very proud that people all over the world are writing in on YouTube on our channel and making comments. People from Germany, from Hong Kong, different parts of the world. And then the kids get to look at this, and they know that they participated in something that has a positive message, but that has been seen across, you know, around the world.
And there's a lot of different components, as you said. There's the children singing. There's Native American drummers in the video as well.
Yeah. And the nice thing about the project, it's gone beyond that now. Several of the children were very interested in the technology, the computers, the camera, the microphones. So now we're continuing our relationship with a student at Red Cloud School in Pine Ridge. And he communicates, sent us an email, said, hey, I really enjoyed this. I want to do some recording. Can you help me out on some equipment? What are some of our needs that we might have for equipment? So we're putting him in touch with the top recording people that we know throughout Orlando. And we're getting him all the resources and information. And it's just a neat project that has blossomed into more opportunities, which is really our project. The mission that we want to do is our programs that we implement are not just about teaching music. It's about teaching art. It's about generating participation. It's about getting the kids involved, having them find out what interests them. Is it digital media? Is it arts? Is it arts in a manner of painting and drawing? We implement a lot of those aspects into our programs for the summer where the children paint and do different things, and then we project their paintings up on a large screen and set it to music. So it's really been, I think it's the impact is greater as we're working with these children and continue to communicate and work with them throughout the year.
And I should also mention, you said, you know, you're in Orlando. Part of the music provided is by the Orlando Chamber Ensemble. Can you talk a little bit about how you guys became involved being
well,
in Orlando to, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. It's I grew up in Rapid City, so I'm a Rapid City native, and my wife has been, we've been visiting. She is now considered a local because she's been to Rapid City and the Black Hills every summer since 1989, since we first started dating. And my parents are still there. My family is there. So we spend every summer there. And we have a chamber, professional chamber ensemble here in Orlando that consists of musicians from across the world. We have violinists from Belfast, Ireland. We have musicians from Atlanta Symphony, Philadelphia, Boston, California. So when we started the festival in 2008, we just took our organization and it's like, you know, we need a summer residence and this would be a great place to do it. So we started in Lead, and then we've now moved our operations to Rapid City, but we've expanded. We still include Lead, Deadwood, Sturgis, Rockerville, Rapid City, Kyle, Hot Springs, Hill City, and Pine Ridge. I don't think I missed anyone. Sorry about the long list.
No, that's great.
But it's just been a neat project that is continuing to grow, and the neat thing about it is it's not by our direction, but by the community is telling us, well, we would like this, we would like that. So as an introductory, my wife Dawn introduced a musical story time that we call the Teddy Bear Series. So anyway, so our professional musicians from around the world, these are some of the top musicians from Atlanta Symphony, from the Curtis Institute of Music, from a former concertmaster of Columbus Symphony. Anyway, so these musicians are our professional musicians that we use at the Chamber Music Festival. And they go around and play for the kids and get to meet directly with the students from preschool through high school. So for preschool, a young child can come see The Gingerbread Man, Lost in the Black Hills, at the Rapid City Public Library, being performed by members of the Atlanta Symphony. And then afterwards, we have the musical petting zoo, where our musicians place an instrument in the hands of each child in attendance, and they get their first violin lesson. I mean, how would you like to have your first violin lesson from one of the first violins of Atlanta Symphony?
That sounds great.
So, yeah. It continues through our children's concerts, and then also we work with area high school students where we perform chamber ensembles at the area churches. We take our group and split it up into three, and then we have the area high school students join us. And we get to rehearse, we get to talk afterwards, we always have some pizza or something afterwards, and get to also work on development for the students. What are their interests? Now, I know your background is in business, so several of the students are interested in music business. So our intern, who was a former student in the program, is now studying music business in Minnesota. And he's getting involved in the business aspect of it, and he's also in digital arts. And so he participated and did a lot of the blending and mixing of the audio that you hear on the video. So it's a neat, we try and continue and expand opportunities. Another area high school student was interested
Michael,
in attending.
Sorry, Michael, I have to cut you off a little bit. I would talk all hour with you on this, I think.
Okay.
But I just wanted to get in there before we leave of where can people actually learn more about this?
Oh, it's easy. Our website is www.cmfph.org. It stands for Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. .org. So cmfph.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Michael, for coming on and sharing this project with us.
You bet. Thank you for your time.
Michael Hill is Executive Director for the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. You can see a link to the Chamber's virtual choir video on our website at sdpb.org.